And you can see perhaps something of the difficulty I had. Jezebel in the church, immorality rife through the church, those who overcome being given an iron scepter and dashing nations to pieces. Is this the promise of Jesus to us in the church, and what does it mean? What really struck me, first of all, was that when Jesus wrote to the churches, he picked out some of the features that John saw in him. And, in Sardis, he says, these are the words of the first and the last. Those were the words of Jesus that he spoke. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his hands, he says to Ephesus. I am the one who has the double-edged sword coming from his mouth, he says to the church in Pergamum. And here in Thyatira, he says, these are the words of the one, the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. So he points out some of his features as he addresses the church. And the reason he points out some of his features is because those features are then featured in the letter to the church. Jesus writes to this church in Thyatira, and he describes himself as having fiery eyes and glowing feet. Fiery eyes. Now, the eyes of the Lord Jesus were sort of shimmering like the flame of a fire. They would have been really utterly attractive. They would have been something that when John looked at Jesus, he noticed those eyes looking at him. And in the eyes of Jesus was such a warmth and a beauty, showing the love that he had for you and me, his church. But there was also in those eyes an intensity and a fire. A fire of purity that speak of Jesus' perfection and his purity, the piercing gaze of his eyes as well. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of the Lord Jesus. He looks into your heart. He looks deep into your soul. And he searches the inner depths of your heart. He sees some of the hidden hurts that you have in there, the pains that you bear every day. He sees your suffering. He sees the response of your heart to his voice. He sees the love that you have for him. His eyes are burning into your soul. He also sees any rebellion that's in your heart. Anything that says, I don't want to do anything that God tells me to do. I want my own way. He has all-seeing eyes that will discern everything about you. Just this afternoon, allow Jesus to look into your soul, feel his love on your heart. Be mesmerized by his beauty. Feel the cleansing of his eyes in your life. And then Jesus says, I am the one who has feet that are like burnished bronze, like a shimmering glow of a superheated bronze burning in a furnace. Whenever we use, if you remember what we said about the feet of Jesus and the bronze, wherever bronze is used in God's word, it's always in the context of sin and sacrifice and judgment. In the temple and in the tabernacle, the bronze features, the bowls, the basins, the altars were outside the Holy of Holies. And they were used for the sacrifices to be made to God. That was where there was blood that was shed. And Jesus is saying, my feet are like burnished bronze. Your sin, my sin, were taken by the Lord Jesus as he suffered on the cross for us. He sacrificed himself on the cross for us. And he's pointing this out. My feet are as bronze. The shimmering molten bronze of his feet showed the love that he has for us as he suffered alone for us, the judgment of God on him. So when Jesus writes to the church, he's looking deeply at the motives of the church. He's looking deeply at your motives and my motives, but he's also empathizing with your suffering as well. And he's saying, I'm suffering, I suffered. I had to go through suffering for you. And we notice in this letter to Thyatira, there are five things that he's noticing about the church. Five things: love, faith, service, perseverance, and tolerance. He's looking at the church and he's saying, I notice that you've got love. When Jesus looks at your heart, does he see love? Is your love God's love? If you have God in your life, because God is love, then you will show God's love in your heart, because God's whole nature is love. Do you have a love for family so deep that you do anything for them, even to the point of giving up your life for them? That's the sort of love that God has for us. That's a true love, to lay down your love, your life, for your family. Is love in your nature? As you grow closer to God, your love will grow as well, because God is love. Do you find that the closer you get to God, perhaps the uglier you feel? That's your perspective, because you're looking at a love in God far more beautiful than you could ever be. Far more beautiful than you could ever have on this earth. And anything would be ugly in comparison to the love of God. But as you draw close to God, his love in you will increase. Do you have love for friends around you? Would you do anything for your friends, no matter what the cost? Would you be willing to put your life on the line for your friends? Maybe some you might. But God's love goes way deeper than that. God is prepared to lay down his life for his enemies in order to rescue them. That's true love. That's pure love. And those who hate God, those who use his name just as a filthy swear word, who deny that he even exists, who are prepared to hurt and even kill those who love God, and God lays down his life in love for them. That's the infinite love of God. Do you have that love in your heart? Jesus looks at the church and says, you're doing well. Your love is growing. It's increased. Hold on to that. That's the way forward. May your love keep growing and keep increasing. Then Jesus says, I notice you've got faith. There it is, and it's growing, and I'm really pleased. The faith is opposite to unbelief, and it's precious in God's eyes. Faith in the Lord Jesus is taking Jesus at his word, believing every promise of God, anything that's in the Bible that's a promise, and then acting on those promises. That's faith. Do you believe? Do you believe what Jesus says? Do you act on that faith? Your faith starts when you believe in the promise of Jesus that if you come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, you will be saved. You're trusting in that finished work of what Jesus did when he died on the cross for you. The love that he poured out on that cross, and you're saying, I believe. That's for me. Do you have faith? But then faith can grow. And I hope that your faith is growing and it goes beyond just trusting in him for saving you. Last week we had the fewest people at the cafe, or the week before last we had the fewest people at the cafe than we've ever had. Faith is believing that God called us to care for people and to feed those who are not well off and those who are needy through the work of the cafe. And so faith is taking that belief and then praying for those who are poor and praying for those that didn't come to the cafe. And so on Monday we prayed that God would send in more to the cafe, and we trusted God. And on Tuesday we saw God answering those prayers. And I think Tammy noted it, didn't she? She said, you know, we prayed about this and they're coming in again. And we just trust and we pray. That's faith growing. Trust Jesus all the time. And then Friday, we had some more on Friday as well. No, it was a good week, wasn't it? Keep praying though. No, we just don't just expect people to turn up. Ask God to send them in so that they'll be blessed by him. But faith can be tested too, can't it? Will you still trust the promises of Jesus when it seems that things are going wrong? Things do go wrong in our lives, don't they? When the disciples were in the boat in the storm and they thought they were about to drown and everything seemed like a massive disaster. They're in this boat with Jesus and the waves were crashing in over the side and they were so terrified they thought they were going to die. And they shook Jesus and he just stood up and he said, "Where's your faith?" In the middle of a storm with the waves crashing in, he said, "Where is your faith?" And then he rebuked the wind and the waves. They should have trusted that Jesus, with Jesus in the boat, they would have been okay. That's faith. With Jesus with you, you won't drown. You will survive. You won't die. Jesus will be with you. He will show you the next step on the journey. He'll always be with you to help you one step at a time. Is your faith growing? Because that's the way forward. Keep growing in faith. But then Jesus said, the third thing he noted was that this church was serving. He said, I know your deeds, your service, your servants, and you're doing well. To serve each other is such a beautiful thing, you know, in a church. To give to others, to help them. We're from different walks of life here in the church, aren't we? Just think about what sort of background you've got compared with some of the others. So there were some who are unable to work. There were some who have been able to work. There were some who have been brought up in a loving home. Some people who have been brought up in an abusive home. There are some who feel loved and there's some who feel despised. There are some who are strong and healthy. There are some who are weak and suffering. And yet, when we get together, we're serving each other because we love each other. I think it was at the men's group on Friday, I noticed in particular, we just got to the end of our time together. We just went into the kitchen and helped clear up together. Serving together. Trying to be a blessing to each other so that no one person has to do too much. May the motto of our cafe, always willing to serve, be our life motto as well. Jesus looked at the church in Thyatira and noticed that they're serving still more than ever before. He said, your service is increasing. Jesus, our Master, has provided for us here in the church opportunities to serve. There's opportunities for you to increase your serving if you need to. In our times of worship, in our children's club, in the community hub, in the cafe, different ways in which you can serve. And it's lovely to see so many people serving in the church. And Jesus looks and he says, your service is increasing. Serve the Lord Jesus with a cheerful heart, even serving those who are lazy or expect to be served all the time. Don't give up when they're like that. Increase your service to them. That's what Jesus would do. Don't expect thanks or praise for what you do when you're serving. If you get thanks or praise, perhaps it's a bonus, but perhaps it's not good at all. You will receive praise from the Master himself. And Jesus said of those who seek praise from men, he said, you've had your praise. You won't get any more. So don't seek praise from people. Don't say, well, they should have said thank you. No, the Lord Jesus will say thank you. He's the one who will thank you for what you've done and praise you for what you've done. If you serve without expecting anything back, your reward from Jesus will be huge. Then Jesus says, you are persevering. I notice the fourth character that Jesus notices in the church is perseverance. Perseverance is really a strength to continue on a course even when it's really tough. Persevere even when things look as if they're going against you. Despite opposition, despite difficulties, persevere, push through. What's your goal in life? Is that goal to honour the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, aim for that goal despite anything happens in your life or what any people will say. Pursue it with all your heart. Be joyful, Jesus says. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Being joyful, being patient, being faithful are encouraged. And they go so well together. Joy, faithfulness, patience. Paul, in one of his letters, he writes, rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance. If you're going through a hard time, rejoice, because you know that it's going to produce perseverance in your life. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So persevere against all that opposes that goal of honouring Jesus. Push through the pain, push through the struggles, push through the temptations. The church there in Thyatira were doing very well in the middle of very violent opposition to them. And Jesus says, you're doing well. You're increasing your perseverance. They are winning on all sides and even increasing in their perseverance. I hope you can as well. And then Jesus moves on to their fifth characteristic. He says, you tolerate. You're a tolerant church, but I've got that against you. You're too tolerant of wrong things. There are things that have come into your church which are against me, and you tolerate them. Tolerance is a good virtue in and of itself, isn't it? It's the willingness to bear with the opinions of others, to cope with differences and mistakes, but Jesus wasn't impressed at all. The church were tolerant, yes, but they were tolerant of evil. And that evil was affecting everyone in the church. People were getting down because of what was happening in the church. And there's a limit, according to Jesus, on what we should tolerate. There was this woman in the church, she's called Jezebel, and she was influencing people towards sexual immorality. But more than that, she was talking to others about it, and she was telling others that it's perfectly acceptable to indulge in sexual immorality. And she was saying, you know, if you do this, then, you know, this is some of the secrets of life. You'll enjoy some of the secrets of life. And she was just persuading people in the church to indulge in sexual immorality and idolatry. And the thing is, Jesus had tolerated that behaviour in the church for a while. He said, I've given her time to repent. I've told her and I've warned her several times now, and she hasn't turned around and stopped her ways. I've tolerated it, but I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. He's issued warnings, but she's refused to stop her ways. And now's the time to act, because such sin cannot continue in a church. Such sin cannot continue among God's holy people. So I know I've said it before, and I just want to emphasize it again. All sexual activity is intended by God to be part of a long-lasting, binding, lifelong relationship, a marriage relationship. And as God's holy people, the church, are to be showing the world that high standard of God. Don't be dragged down into the ways of the world. Don't give in to those temptations, no matter how big they are. And Jesus says to the church in Thyatira, enough is enough. I am going to bring this woman to judgment now, and all those who got along with her ways. There will be a time of severe suffering now and death. And he says, I am searching the hearts of the church. And this is where his blazing eyes come in. You know, Jesus' eyes have dug deep into the church, and he's found this sin. He says, I need to deal with this. Don't let sin enter your hearts. Don't let sin into the church. But Jesus says, I want you now to, the rest of you, I want you to hold on. He says, I'm not going to burden you with anything more. Just hold on to what you've got. You have love. You have faith. You have service. You have perseverance. Just hold on to that. They're good. You know, we are entering a time in this world where there are rumours of wars, and there are wars, and there are conflicts rising, and it's going to be a hard time. We don't know what God has planned for the church and for the world. And we may be entering a time where there's going to be a lot of fear. And maybe the end times are getting close. Hold on to your love. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your service. Hold on to your perseverance. Because a time of rewards is surely coming. And Jesus ends this letter with a great encouragement to us all. He says, the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. What does this mean? What is this reward that we are to have? These two rewards, he says, you're also going to be given the morning star. Two rewards that are difficult to understand, aren't they? They're two amazing rewards. But what are they? Everyone who is victorious, who comes through all of life's troubles and battles and overcomes and is victorious, are going to be given these two rewards. So to help you to understand what it means, we read Psalm 2, which talks about the heathens raging. and which talks about the nations fighting against God. The psalm speaks about the reign of the Lord Jesus when he is surrounded by hostile nations and they're hell-bent and trying to destroy him. They detest some of the commands, and as we were reading, it was talking about they want to break the shackles. God is in control of them and he's bound them so they cannot do more than God tells them to do. But they want to press out. And we see nations like Russia saying, I want to take over another country. I want to get involved in that. And God says, I'm going to restrain what you're doing. But they're pushing against that and they're trying to break those chains that God has bound them with. They have this nagging conscience, and God is stopping them going beyond what he allows them to do. The Father, the Eternal Lord, sees their struggles and he just laughs at them. I'm in control, he says. And he laughs at them. Their futile efforts just to fight against him, the mighty God. And then he steps in anger and says, now I'm going to deal with them. Their rebellious hearts. They're fighting against God. And God says, my anointed one, the King, will deal with them. And then we turn to the Lord Jesus, the anointed one, the King. He sacrificed himself on the cross, and he even used wicked men to help him to be sacrificed. And he's risen from the grave, and then he gives this commandment to his disciples, and he says, all authority has been given to me. I am the one with all authority over the world. Nothing can happen in this world without me saying so. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. And as Jesus rises into glory, he is declaring his rulership over all the earth has just begun. His rulership over the nations is a reign of righteousness and of justice. And many are going to be blessed because Jesus is in control. We have benefited, you have benefited by Jesus ruling and reigning over the earth. Your bonds have been broken. You have seen the light and you have been set free from darkness. And your Jesus reigning in your life means that you are making a difference in the world around you. There are those that openly rebel against Jesus. They will be dashed to pieces. Their will be shattered. They will not be able to do the things that they want to do. Jesus has absolute power over all nations, and he can do as he chooses, and when the time comes, he breaks them. He breaks the demonic hold that Satan has over the nations, over people's lives. And so what you see in the world around us, the conflicts, the wars, the rumors of wars, and every tension that happens, it's Satan coming in and just trying to have his way, and Jesus steps in and says, no, it's not going to happen. He's going to rebuke nations. He's going to bring them to their knees. And then we look at Ephesians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 2 says, God made us alive with Christ and raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. So it's not just Jesus ruling over the earth, it's us seated with Jesus. And so we can come to Revelation and it says, you will be given the authority to be able to break the nations as well. Because we are sitting on the throne with Jesus. So as Jesus rules in the heavens, so he's calling us to rule with him. You may not feel like a ruler, but every time you pray against the work of darkness, you are ruling with Jesus. When you pray against the battles that are going on around us, when you pray for God Jesus to change people's lives and change people's hearts, you are ruling with Christ Jesus. You are breaking the bonds. You are smashing the works of darkness. to keep praying. We are seeing lives changed. We are seeing people brought to the Lord Jesus, and you're among those people. The hold of the enemy is broken and shattered on your lives because you've been set free. Because someone in the church somewhere has spoken and prayed for you and you've been saved. That's the church ruling with Jesus on this earth as he rules in the heavens. But there's the other reward, isn't there? You will be given the morning star. Why do you want the morning star? The morning star is the brightest star. The morning star is the star that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. It's a reference to the glory of Jesus, who is the brightest morning star. You're going to be given a glory, a light in your life. If you're overcoming, this isn't something that's going to happen sometime in the future. This is something that's happening now in this life, on this earth, in your life. You are surrounded by darkness, but your light will shine brighter. The more you overcome, the brighter your life will be, and the brighter your light will be. Your glory is already beginning to shine here on this earth, and it will be complete when we meet Jesus in the sky. Our radiance is going to be, at the moment, proportional to how much you are overcoming through the blood of the Lord Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's much still for us to learn about living holy lives, isn't there? There's so much more to go. Keep going. Keep increasing your faith, your love, your service, your perseverance. You'll see significant changes in the rule of Satan here in Prior's Park when we follow and obey the Lord Jesus. Jesus is calling you to live a holy life, to grow, to be closer to him, to stand strong against the rule of sin in your life and in the lives of others around you. So press on. Persevere, keep fighting, keep praying, keep casting out those demons, and you will overcome. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you are calling us into a battle where you are in control and you are in command. Thank you, Lord, that the battle belongs to the Lord. That nothing we do can ever change that. Thank you, Lord, we just want to submit to the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to increase in love and faith and service and perseverance. We want to kick out anything that's that we are tolerating that we shouldn't be tolerating, so that we are pure and holy before you. Father, please will you help us to live holy lives as we serve you, that your name will be glorified and that we will be truly lights in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish by singing, "I Cast My Mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me." If you're able to stand, please stand.